and the time is 6 a.m. Good morning, friends. I'm Ron Robinson.
And I'm Carol.
We are the Saturday Morning Show, here for you for the next 2 hours, 6 until 8. And then something for you to shout at, something to shout about, here on CKWFM 95.9 on your FM dial. Back on the roof, looking for ancient radio waves. The weather seems decent enough, so we don't have to worry about that, compared to last week, I'm thinking. And we've got Everly Brothers for you this half hour. Advice from Mary as well. Let's see if we can scare up some sports for you as well. Now, looking at your easy listening hit parade, the 40s and the 50s this morning. Well, let's see if we can identify who the singer is on this. The write-up talks about Richard Heyman. Of course, the composer was Charlie Chaplin. It's the Terry's theme from Limelight. In his later years, Chaplin took control of almost every aspect of his films. He not only wrote, directed, and acted them, but he also composed the background scores. You'll probably recognize this then. Theme from Limelight. And I see I was talking about something when it comes to a singer. I think in our second, maybe third half hour, we've got a very recognizable voice, but it's not who was identified in the liner notes at 6:05. So Terry's theme, I mentioned Charlie Chaplin. For his 1953 film, Limelight, Chaplin's score included a theme that kept cropping up through the picture. Originally identified as the Terry theme, or sometimes simply as Limelight, in 1972, after years of exile during the McCarthy era, because of speeches he made early in World War II, Chaplin was reinstated, and the film played widely in America. Well, his life was a little uppity too, wasn't it? The comic, then aged 83 and ailing, belatedly won an Oscar for his score. Sentimental theme still evokes the love of the old music hall performer played by Chaplin for a beautiful young girl. At 6:05, Carol McKibben, what about the weather then?
Well, it was a little late, but I've got the weather now. While you're putting together your sports scores, I guess. It's minus 13 out, which I thought, oh, that's going to be lovely. But it's light snow, and let me tell you, it's all sparkly and beautiful, the way you want to see snow, and fluffy, but it's a little bit of a slog for us getting through it. So minus 13 then, barometric pressure 102 and falling, humidity 87%, wind coming from the west at just 8, and the wind chill is therefore minus 18. There will be periods of snow, but it'll end this morning, and then it'll be mostly cloudy, and wind will increase up to 15 kilometers, and the high, it says, is minus 12, although we may have already passed that. I think it's going to get chillier and chillier as the day goes on. The wind chill will be near minus 22 through the day.
Right you are. And yes, you were mentioning, I've got a quote for you, though. It just came to me as we were marching along this morning. Add this to the book of Canadian quotations.
Yes.
The snow very quickly fills in our footsteps. There'll be a test at the end of the first half hour.
Who said it?
I did. The snow very quickly
from the Canadian Book of Quotes.
Well,
by Ron Robinson.
That's from the age of 79. The snow quickly fills in our footprints. Sports, though. NHL hockey, Winnipeg Jets, I fell into a burning, I'll say they did. Once again, the Jets lost. I think it was, I've lost track here, 6-5.
They were up by 3 at one point.
Yes, they were winning 4-1, but they lost.
Oh, dear.
A boo-boo comes back home to haunt you. They play the Ottawa Senators tonight at 6 p.m. I see changes on the horizon. Write that down. There's another quote for you. The AHL, the Manitoba Moose, took on the Abbotsford Canucks last night. Moose won, 4-1. Professional Women's Hockey League, Montreal and New York last night. New York beat Montreal 4-3. Noon today, it's Minnesota. Minnesota's got to be playing somebody. Alas, it's not identified here because they're in Minnesota. I suppose that's what it might be, but that wouldn't...
Well, that sounds like the World Juniors, then, if they're playing in Minnesota.
Well, let's finish up with the Professional Women's Hockey League, say New York won 4-3, I see. Vancouver and Boston today is the game for today. And in the World Junior Hockey Championship, which is what we've been watching... the USA played Finland yesterday. Finland won 4-3. Interesting. That's the score that USA beat Finland last year. So it's good night from them, and it's good night from them.
Wow.
Canada was battling Slovakia, but boy, oh boy, they came on strong in Minnesota. Canada won 7-1. So what's coming up? Canada and Czechia, Sunday at 7:30. That's at night. And it'll be Finland at Sweden, and Sweden at 3:30 in the semifinals.
We already played them away at the beginning of
yes.
the
you can
tournament.
Look back if you want to see how that went. But that
I
was then.
I think we won 7-5.
That was then. This is now. Belfast Giants. December 31st, they beat the Glasgow Glen 2-1. They play the Nottingham Panthers. Just like to say that. Nottingham Panthers next Saturday. Basketball, Toronto Raptors play the Atlanta Hawks 6:30 tonight. And I see, according to the Free Press, Diane Crump has died at the age of 77.
Diane Crump.
I had originally written it down as Cramp, but I see that the Free Press calls it Crump. I'm going with the Free Press.
Okay.
She was the first woman to ride in the Kentucky Derby.
Oh, I see.
228 Goodness. Career victories. Her last race was in 1998 when she was 49 years old.
Wow.
10 minutes after six then.
Talk about girls. Time for a girl group.
We could do that, but I must know we have scheduled.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I see then. What you're saying. You're absolutely right.
Yes.
Why do we go with the girl group? Although I did want to say, well, I will save that for later, all right. To go with that bit of news, as Carol says. Indeed. Indeed, Biggie, from, it's a box set, actually, of Stage Door Canteen, Music of the War Years, Volume 1 from 1941, 1942, so we're staying with our 40s, 50s there, at 6:13, looking at the Winnipeg Free Press book pages from today, I see Mr. Trump, Mr. Biden on the front page of the book pages. This is the big book, reviewed in today's Free Press, titled, Retribution. Donald Trump and the Campaign That Changed America by Jonathan Carl, who is ABC News Chief, Washington Correspondent Jonathan Carl. Retribution, Donald Trump and the Campaign That Changed America, reviewed by Matt Henderson as he sums it up. Retribution, an important insight into what happens when a society defunds public education, the billionaire class steals all three levels of government, and the vulnerable are scapegoated and ridiculed. It is a cautionary tale for all those who wish to create a just and democratic society, just societies that require work, sacrifice, and a focus on community. Matt Henderson, superintendent of the Winnipeg School Division. That's in today's Winnipeg Free Press. I flip the page. Continuing survey by Rabe Robertson. Dust, More Lives of the Poets, brackets, with guitars, by Rabe Robertson. Canadian writer Ray Robertson, he's the author of nearly 20 works of fiction and nonfiction poetry, returns with us the work that explores and celebrates a number of influential, if not always well-known, musicians. He calls it accessible, appeal to both musical experts and neophytes. Right you are. Dusk contains enough diversity of time, place, and subject to provide something of interest to nearly any reader. It's a work that can be read in fits and starts, though the temptation to read just one more chapter is difficult to resist. Dust by Ray Robertson. And as well, how many biographies has she written? The latest memoir from Patti Smith, titled Bread of Angels, has been published and reviewed by Bill Rambo in the Free Press. I mean, she goes back to a career as a punk rocker, Blaze, in the late 70s. Debut album Horses has just been reissued, by the way, as a 50th anniversary edition.
Oh, I
regularly
see.
Appears on lists of all-time albums. Inspired the likes of, among many others, you're here, Michael Stipe and Peter Buck of R.E.M. So Smith is now 79, it says here, has released multiple memoirs. I mean, 2010's Just Kids, 2015's M-Train. So Bread of Angels is a more full autobiography, often quite effectively melding her interior thoughts with interior events and people. That title, Bread of Angels.
Did you ever talk to Patti Smith?
No. So it's not a tell-all or a in-depth analysis, says Bill Rambo, retired teacher living in Landmark. His affinity for Springsteen's music was his gateway to the sublime punk of the Patti Smith group.
Hmm.
As well, paperbacks reviewed by David Pitt in today's Winnipeg Free Press. First edition of Josh Levine's Pretty, Pretty, Pretty Good, Larry David and the Making of Seinfeld and Curb Your Enthusiasm, published 15 years ago. New edition, updated to include the final seasons of Curb, so boy, you better be a fan for that then. Pretty, Pretty, Pretty Good, as reviewed in today's Winnipeg Free Press. Oh, one more, and that's Malala. Finding My Way, a memoir by Malala Yousafzai. Remember, 15-year-old Pakistani girl, 2012, stood up to the Taliban, supportive of girls' education, was shot in the head for her troubles. Well, she's back this time as a young woman with the memoir Finding My Way, describing her life since she was thrust into the public stage, reviewed by Gordon Arnold. All of the above mentioned and reviewed in today's Winnipeg Free Press book pages. What would you like to hear next, Carol?
Well, you know what I was thinking? Remember when you used to be teaching English as an additional language, and you and Tom Carter used to get together, and you called yourselves the Elderly Brothers?
Even back then, we called ourselves the Elderly
back
Brothers.
Back then, 30-odd years ago.
Seems like only yesterday.
Yes.
I left my mind behind.
But I don't think we have any recordings of that. But what about the Everly Brothers?
Well, that's true. We used to sing.
Yes.
Well,
old Elderly Man River.
Well, no, we used to sing yes. A couple of their hits, of course. But I think what we want to hear today is imagine if we were perhaps in Victoria. How about that?
Okay.
Skies, you won't know the rain from the tears in my eyes. You'll never know that I still love you so. Though the heartaches remain, I'll do my crying in the rain. Raindrops falling from heaven could never wash away my misery. Since we're not together, I pray for stormy weather to hide these tears I hope you'll never see. Someday when my crying's done, I'm gonna wear the smile and walk in the sun. I may be a fool, but till then, darling, you'll never see. Falling from heaven, never wash away my misery. Since we're not together, pray for stormy weather to hide these tears I hope you'll never see. Someday when my crying's done, I'm gonna wear a smile and walk in the sun. I may be a fool, but till then, darling, you'll never see me complain. I'll do my crying in the rain. I'll do my crying in the rain. I'll do my crying.
Everly Brothers, live somewhere, we just don't know where, from a Everly Brothers 2 CD set, which I think we must have got in England. Oh, it's got all the biggies, Carol.
Yes.
Bird Dog, Devoted to You, Ebony Eyes. Some I don't recognize. Down in the Willow Garden, Let It Be Me. What, Kathy's Clown? We used to sing Bye Bye Love, I guess. All I Have to Do is Dream. That's the one that I was thinking of.
Yep. So do you know which prolific songwriter wrote Crying in the Rain?
Could it be Willie Nelson?
No.
Could it be the Bordello Brothers?
No.
Could it be somebody else?
It's somebody else. A woman. Here We Go Again.
Here We Go Again. Oh, that's a name you don't hear too often.
That's right. Carole King.
Oh, well, it's got King at your right. It probably is Carole King.
Yep.
Working at a small office in New York.
Well, I happen to know it was Carole King.
So. In the Brill Building, pounding away there on the piano.
Yes.
Well done, Carol.
Yes, she
well,
did
actually,
very well.
This is the anniversary of
wrote
the death,
for everybody.
The anniversary of the death of Phil Everly.
Oh.
Died on this day in 2014, at the age of 74. At least they made up and were friendly again by that time.
Oh, okay, good.
6:23, Carol McKibben, yes. If you will stand on your chair. We're going looking.
Well, I have to put my hood up because...
Poo-poo, a little bit of snow. Come on now. You pre-shrunk. Just push above your head there. And I'll hand you the... Andrew Kane, we're looking for Ancient Radio Waves. Come in, Ancient Radio Waves. Come in. Are you there?
What will you do in the long, cold, dark, shivery evenings when your health and convenience compel you to stay indoors? Why, have a phonograph, of course. It is the finest entertainer in the world. There is nothing to equal it in the whole realm of art. It imitates any and every musical instrument, any and every natural sound, faithfully. The human voice, the noise of the cataract, the boom of the gun, the voices of birds or animals. The greatest mimic, a valuable teacher of acoustics, most interesting to old or young. A pleasure and charm to the suffering, bringing them the brightness and amusements of the outside world by its faithful reproductions of operas, new songs, speeches, etc. Every home will sooner or later have its phonograph as a necessity. Have yours now. You will enjoy it longer.
Mr. Edison says the machine is designed for practical use by businessmen and lawyers, etc. Thus, a man may dictate half a dozen letters before leaving his office, and his clerks may write them out in his absence. If he should wish to say more, he can remove the first plate and put in a second, and so on up to any number he may require.
Signor Foghorni, the great Hibernian basso tenore robusto profundo, is so disgusted at the frivolity of contemporary musical taste, which is not ripe enough to appreciate him, that he gives up all attempts to please the present generation. He buys a phonograph instead and devotes his energies to singing for posterity. By applying his ear to this marvelous instrument immediately after singing into it, he not only hears his song echoed back to him out of the dim future, but he also hears the rapturous applause of unborn millions.
Little men and all, October 8th, 1888.
Now listen to the voice of Sir Arthur Sullivan. For myself, I can only say that I am astonished and somewhat terrified at the result of this evening's experiment. Astonished at the wonderful power you have developed, and terrified at the thought that so much hideous and sad music may be put on record forever. Arthur Sullivan.
As I was a-climb down the road, I met Mr. Topper and I met Miss Toad. Every time Mr. Topper would sing, see that old toad cut the pigeon wing. I loop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop-doop. Way down yonder when I tuck, I loop. I sit in the battle with the kangaroo. I sit in the port till the head drags down. I hush it up a piece and I take another round. Turkey in the sun, a turkey in the hay. I twist and I turn about a high to the fall. I hook them up a tune called Turkey in the Straw. A turkey in the mud, New York turkey. I twist and I turn about a high to the fall. I hook them up a tune called Turkey in the Straw.
It was Billy Golden who asked me one day in Washington in 1891 if I would go with him to see a funny German who had started experimenting with a flat disc talking machine record and wanted to make some trials. I was only too eager to see him at work. We found Emil Berliner in his small laboratory on New York Avenue and received a warm welcome from the inventor. Billy was right. Berliner certainly did make me smile. Dressed in a monkish frock, he paced up and down the small studio, buzzing on a diaphragm.
"Hello, hello,"
he recited in guttural broken English.
"Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are."
Ancient radio waves that go on forever. The wonder of the age, Mr. Edison's new talking phonograph. Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. They're out there, Carol, if you go looking for them at 6:28, looking at the Turner Classic Movie Channel for today. Now, one of the things that came to mind, I see the, I get a monthly note from the Turner Classic Movie Channel that tells me what their plans are for the month. So let's see if I can find that for you. It was in my new All Males. We ask for TCM. We get Now Playing This Month on Turner Classic Movie Channel, their newsletter. So they do it, featuring Jean Arthur. Thursdays in January. She's the star of the month. They're doing Flashback Fridays, looking way back, famous movies from the past. Diane Keaton Memorial Tribute will be on January 25th. Today's January 3rd. You can plan for that. Martin Luther King Day, January 19th. Holocaust Remembrance Day on the Turner Classic Movie Channel will be January 27th. Now, as well, that's what's coming up, but as well for today, then, January 3rd, 11 a.m. this morning, Camelot, from 1967, directed by Joshua Logan, Richard Harris, Vanessa Redgrave, looking sort of dozy, and Franco Nero. This is the movie crowd, of course, but compared to the Broadway crowd. 4:30 this afternoon, Glimpses of Old England from 1949. That'll be a 15-minute documentary. 4:45 today, Tom Jones, 1963. Albert Finney, looking lascivious. Susanna York, looking lovely. 7 o'clock tonight, When Worlds Collide. Scientists race to build a rocket before a maverick star smashes into Earth. Well, obviously they succeeded. When Worlds Collide from 1951. Sunday, 1 a.m., The Late Show, Aging Private Eye and Hollywood Eccentric. Art Carney and Lily Tomlin for you there, 1 a.m. on Sunday, The Late Show. 5:15 a.m. Sunday, Thief of Baghdad from 1940. Young Thief Faces Amazing Monsters. 7 p.m., The Rain Man from 1988, Oscar winner Dustin Hoffman as an autistic man on a road trip with brother Tom Cruise. Soundtrack, don't you know? I don't have it in front of me here.
Tell us about your school teacher again?
No. Richard Burton, Julie Andrews, Robert Goulet. But of course, we could have played without. If ever I would leave you. Sorry, Robert, another day. Oh, all right. He used to come. My English teacher.
Yes.
We called her Eustacia. Eustacia Tataya, because she was teaching us Return of the Native.
Oh.
She had a green.
Tom Hardy.
Looked like a fisherman's net had hauled her out of the sea. Because it had big holes in it, you know, big green things she used to fling over one shoulder.
Oh, I see, a shawl, yes.
Yes.
Probably.
And she actually had a pen, a long plastic pen with a fake rose on the end of it.
Yes.
And occasionally she'd put it between her teeth.
Yeah.
Sort of pirate-like.
All right.
And she said, whenever Bob Goulet comes to Winnipeg, he stays with us. 6:32. Do we need help? Probably we do.
We need lots of help.
Lots of help.
Yes.
Oh, by the way, Camelot this morning at 11 a.m.
Oh, excellent.
Yep. I'm returning to Mary. Dear Mary,
Camelot.
Your problems, plural, solved. Well, Mary, what is it today then? Shall we see? Shall we see? What have we got? Mary says she's had a letter from C.G. of Farnham, Surrey. A friend bought me a gift subscription to a magazine. I like it and want to continue taking it, but do not want my friend to feel obliged to renew when he gets the usual reminder. Your solution, please, for a delicate problem which is surely not unique. Mary says, yes, communicate directly with the subscription department of the magazine. Say that you now wish to become the subscriber and receive all the documentation regarding the subscription yourself. Try to do this before 9 months of the subscription has run its course, since it is at that point that a magazine begins to send reminders that the time for renewal is coming up. Most decent publications will, like The Spectator, I'll repeat that, like The Spectator, then send a card to your friend, thanking him for having introduced you and announcing that you have liked the magazine so much you've taken out your own subscription. Thank you. Thank you, Barry. Dear Mary, we'll be back. I think next week I've got all these things that we saved from 20-something years ago.
I'm Marina Endicott, lover of vaudeville and author of The Little Shadows. And you're sitting in the best seats in the house. You're listening to CKUW FM.
95.9 here in Winnipeg.
I was going to say, if you try and contact a magazine subscriber now, it would probably be all ChatGPT and good luck with trying to reorganize it.
Thank you for calling. Your call is important to us. That's why we're not here. Poo-poo.
Exactly.
At 6:35. Save that for next week. Yes, we'll save that for next week as well. I see on this day...
Boy, you're pushing things all over your desk.
On this day, though...
Back and forth.
1521.
15.
Martin Luther.
Oh, yes.
Excommunicated by Pope Leo X for his what? How many theses were there?
97.
Well, originally 97, but he lost two of them, and they finished up with 95.
95, man.
Next thing you know, we've got a Protestant Reformation on our hands.
Yep.
Could have all been different. 636 now.
Yes.
I'm looking over what I might want to share with you next. Mm-hmm. And I think it's an anniversary, actually, of, and I took him off my screen, so I'll look him up later. It's Burton Lane, who did a lot of work on Broadway. Now, he's on the piano here.
Okay.
This is from the original Broadway cast recording of Finian's Rainbow.
Right.
Which our friend Howard Kerr was a great fan of. He'd starred in it, I think, when he was in high school.
Oh.
And so Burton Lane and Yip Harburg.
Yes.
Did the music. Harburg did the words.
Yes, he's more
late.
Of a
so these are little, a couple of added cuts on this CD.
Okay.
This is Yip Harburg with Burton Lane on the piano.
Don't pass me by. What's your hurry, stranger? Don't you know we only pass this way one time? Moon's riding high. Ah, but here's the danger. It may only shine for us this way one time. Star and wind and weather, look at us and plead, please get together. Come, lucky lad, take this lucky lass, for we only pass this way one time.
Yip Harburg doing the singing. He did the writing. Burden Lane on piano there. Bonus tracks, Jip Herberg. It actually talks and sings on How Are Things in Glockamora? When I'm not the girl I... Not near the girl I love. And Don't Pass Me By, which I don't recognize, but you would remember How Are Things in Glockamora. Look to the Rainbow.
Yeah.
Old Devil Moon. That's all in the soundtrack. It's Finn's Rainbow.
Jip Herberg doesn't sing very often, does he? In public?
I wouldn't, apparently not.
No.
I don't think people would say, I'm paying cash money to hear Yip.
It seemed a little out of his register, a little high for him, maybe.
They were getting on by then, I would think. I mean,
yes,
Burton Lane was born in 1912. American composer, known mostly for his theater and film scores, most popular. Finian's Rainbow, 1947. So, there you go right there. If he was successful in 1947, how old was he when he recorded that?
Mm-hmm.
On a Clear Day You Can See Forever. Burton Lane also did the music for that, 1965. Born Burton Levy, Manhattan, New York. Lazarus. Imagine being named Lazarus.
Aye.
On the third day. Well, Francis Fink Levy was his mom. Teenager, he changed his surname to Lane at the suggestion of someone with whom he was auditioning, and his brother and cousins followed suit. Well, they did things act like that back then. Burton Lane. 6:41. I'm thinking, where do you want to go in the spring?
Well, there's a few places I wouldn't mind going to. Let's say England.
We could ride the tube.
Yes. That was awfully quiet. That was like the Montreal Metro.
Mind the gap.
Yes.
There we are. We mind the gap. Planning, thinking, waiting.
Yes.
Checking.
Well, we have a lot of things on in this spring. Well, choir.
I didn't want to tell you that.
Yes.
We did not win the $80 million.
Oh.
We would have been here anyways for at least one more show. But so, check the finances at 6:42.
Yes. Okay.
Got a jumble?
I do have a jumble. I've already solved two of them, so I think you can too.
Okie dokie.
Okay. You ready?
Go ahead.
Okay. RNFOT. Oh, dear.
Front?
Yes.
I thought that sounds too easy.
Yes, I know. That's what I said. I got them quickly, so right. You can too.
Well, if the word was front, let's get back to another word in the jumble then, because apparently I'm on a roll.
Oh, okay. You want another one?
Okay. Yeah, come on.
Now you seem less
It's
sure.
A new year, Carol. We're going to do two,
okay.
Two in a row.
Okay.
Yeah.
SNTTU.
TTU.
I didn't hear how you...
Stunt?
Yes.
Yeah. Interesting.
Okay.
Well, on this day in 1952, Dragnet with Jack Webb premiered on NBC TV.
Thank you.
facts, ma'am. Just the facts. That's all we want, just the facts. Mm-hmm. Theme of Dragnet, Ray Anthony and the orchestra. Dragnet, of course, is a media franchise created by actor and producer Jack Webb. Owned his own company, yes. Followed the Los Angeles Police Department, police detective Joe Friday and his partners. They came, they went. Of course, Stan Freberg did a great version as well.
Right, yes.
And it started as a radio drama on NBC in 1949. We hear it from time to time on CJNU.
Yes.
On Tuesday nights, I guess it's crime time on Tuesday
okay.
nights.
Because what's Thursday is?
Thriller Thursday. Oh, I see. Not to be confused with Jack crime. Benny on Sundays and
right.
Stagebrush Theater on Mondays.
Yes.
Right.
Lux movie radio
Wednesday.
Theater.
Wednesday, that's right.
Yes, Wednesday.
So Dragnet adapted into several successful television shows and films. Of course, but popularity is reduced, I'll put it that way, since Webb's death in 1982. Name derived from the police term Dragnet, system of coordinated measures for apprehending criminals or suspects and putting them in chokey.
Okay.
At 6:46, little added editorial there on my
yes,
part.
Right.
6:47, we need a bit of comedy.
We do need a bit of comedy.
And don't forget, we have classical music here on CKWFM as well.
Yes.
Yes.
Then in 1940, I luckily arrived in the United States, unable to speak a word of English, of course, which was a handicap because I found most people over here do. And I tried to learn the language, and I got along as time and a half went by, and I picked up a few words here and there, mostly there because I hadn't been here yet. But I found that people who speak English sometimes do not understand each other too well. Due to the fact that they do not use punctuation marks when they talk. And that, thank you. That is why I invented phonetic punctuation, which means that while we talk, we will integrate punctuation marks by giving them sounds so that we can underline our sentences as well when we speak as we do when we read and or ride. I'll teach you the system. A period sounds like this. Here is a dash. An exclamation point is a vertical dash with a period underneath. Here is a comma. Quotation are two commas. If you happen to be left-handed. Question mark is rather difficult. To Finally, the colon. The two little dots, you know, you can put them either over or under each other. That is the sound for the colon. I have a book here, and I'm going to read to you a short story so you can hear how the system really sounds. This book was written by Shakespeare this time. Johann Sebastian Shakespeare. This is a pickpocket edition, by the way. I have a short story right here in the beginning of the book. It is on page 2. In the open window, there suddenly came light. Beautiful Eleanor sat alone, dreaming of but one thing. Two years had passed since she met Sir Henry. She could still remember the unhappy evening when her father had thrown him out. They had been sitting in the park, and Henry had said, "Darling." Is this the first time you have loved? She had answered, Yes. But it is a wonderful, but I hope it will not be the last. It's getting a little messy. Suddenly she heard a well-known sound. It was he. In two strides, he was near her, embraced, kissed, and caressed her. Henry! What is love? She asked. He answered, well, I couldn't live without it. She asked, I'm sorry, where have all your thoughts been this while? He answered, with thee, my maiden. Suddenly he was gone. All she heard was the well-known sound of his departing horse.
Victor Bork. A little biography for you there, and then his famous punctuation skit, phonetic punctuation.
Yeah.
Although I had planned on playing Mozart opera by Bork, but panicked. Not enough coffee, Carol. Too many jumbles, it's hard to say. Astro, will you play that another time?
Or trudging through the snow.
Because I wanted to mention
yes.
Classical music here on CKWFM. That's Shades of Classics, heard here Sundays, 8 till 10, Classical and New Age with John Iverson. I'm looking at the full page of programming found in the latest, if not the last, issue of Stylus Magazine. And I see here the Saturday morning show, of course, Saturday 6 till 8, pages. Radio for Readers as well, Thursdays, 5 to 5.30. But anyway, Shades of Classics, Classical and New Age, Sunday morning, tomorrow, in other words, 8 till 10 in the morning. Coming up in the next half hour, Wake Them, Shake Them, Children's Corner. We've got some poetry.
Okay.
Some admonitory poetry, I think.
Uh-oh.
Yes, we'll straighten those children out, Carol.
I see.
Left, right. Do the boys' hall. Porridge, one more. Porridge? We were glad to have it. 6:54. Yeah. Time then to learn and look from the Capitol record albums, The Birth of a Label. This is the one that looks like a little 45. And it talks about, was it wise to open a new record label, 1942-43? Couldn't have been worse, actually. War going on. And things were not going well. Shellac rationing. Musicians union ban on commercial recording. Oh, yeah, well, anyways, who was it? Johnny Mercer's wife came up with the title. Ginger came up with the title. Capital. Bingo, bango, bongo. So the weirdness about this recording, of course, Paul Whiteman, the businessman's bounce, as he was known.
Right.
Or and a one, and a two, and a, yes.
And it's Capital with an O.
And what Capital?
Instead of Capital with an A.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
What a capital idea, I suppose. Something mm-hmm. with an H-er. Anyways, see if you recognize the voice on this cut, because
right,
she was signed to another label.
She.
So it was a no-no, I suppose,
oh,
to
yeah.
identify
cross
who
labels.
She was, don't
yeah.
you know? Yes.
Without permission.
Mm-hmm. said goodbye and took my heart away. So from today I'm traveling light, no one to see. I'm free as the breeze, no one but me and my memories. Some lucky night he may come back again, but until then I'm traveling light.
Did you recognize that voice, Carol McKinnon?
It sounded like Billie Holiday.
That's because it was Billie Holiday.
Oh, okay.
From Capital, The Birth of a Label, Paul Whiteman and his orchestra, and Billie Holiday. It's 6:59:09. What are we going to do now? What about people who set their radios till to 7 o'clock? If we say who we are, they won't know. So those of you
what
who are...
What a conundrum.
Thanks for listening to the first hour.
Yes.
If you'll just wait a minute, we can join other people who are just rising now.
Yes.
And
thinking about turning on their radio. I wonder what Ron and Carol are doing.
Well, I guess I could mention to you.
Yes.
That I was at the Harvey Smith Library the other day.
Yes.
Which is in the Cindy Clausen complex.
That's right.
On Sargent.
Yep.
And the nice display of It's the End of the World as We Know It.
What?
All disaster books.
Oh, dear.
What if the world ended? It said, why do I recognize it? It's the end of the world as we know it.
I think that's a Canadian one.
It was when I went.